mistakes in the world was accepting people to be pastors that have never even graduated with the 2-year degree from college. How in the world can you pastor a church and you don't know anything about? And, well, let me give you the sense of this thing before I go off on a tangent here. You young men, you need to listen to me. Those of you that are desiring the office of a pastorate, you need to go to school, man. Just going to tell you right up front. And what I'm about to tell you is the proof of why I've always taught that if you're called of God, you need to go to school. Now, I'm not talking about going to an official seminary and stuff like that, because I'm not talking about getting a degree. I'm talking about getting a Christian education from someone that is a Christian and knows what they're talking about. God don't call you to be a pastor to lead people in this here 21st century, and you're the most ignorant person in the world. Can't keep one wife, can't keep a second one, can't keep a third one, got a fourth one, and got a fifth one on your mind. God has never chosen anybody like that. And most of these guys that come out of Word, Faith, and whatever else they call this crock of bull that's supposed to be Christianity, they all triple marriages and all end in shattered divorces. Well, the new pastor of Living by the Word Bible Church is Daryl Fulton. He was known in my ministry as Easy D. And Easy D was a treasurer in the ministry. He was kind of like a deacon. I ordained him as a deacon when he was in Living by the Word. Just give a little bit of background about this guy. He was an ex-cop, married numerous times. And he would come by the office and ask me, how did I get people to send money to me over the radio? And I'd look at him like he was nuts. Man, what? What? How did I get what? And let me tell you, he took theology with me and wasn't the best of all students. Didn't fail, but didn't make a good solid C. A low C, if anything. And I'll give you other names of other ones that had no business sitting in a theological class with me. And how dare them try to argue with me. But I guess after they stole the ministry and everything, then they get the white boy, Craig Hawkins. And this idiot, he even became the pastor of Living by the Word Bible Church. See, after I left, Charlton Davis was a pastor. I don't know what happened to the other guys, Joshua Jameson and the other guy, I forget his name. He told me that he wanted some of the offering money because he and his wife just bought a brand new house and that the church should pay for his house. I told him to back up, you know. And he said, well, you're the only one getting money. Oh, Eugene Taylor, right. And he told me, well, you the one getting... I said, man, these people were taking care of my life right after I left the vet and was pastoring them before you even came on the scene. So I'm not going to tell these people to pay for you and your wife's new house that you shouldn't have bought in the first place. Oh, man, these people will tell you anything and then tell you that God told you to tell me to pay for my house. Let me... you know, give you a peace of mind. The little house that I'm in, since I've had since 1974, I had it before I became a pastor of anything. Same one. Didn't upgrade. Flip upgrade. Need to burn this mess down. Beware, people. I'm telling you, these guys are pimps out here. Anyhow, I found out that Easy's a pastor, and I said, how did he become the pastor? I thought that Charlton Davis was a pastor, and then I heard that Craig Hawkins was a pastor. Who is pastoring Living by the Word Bible Church? Well, my friend Pastor Reamer sat down and gave me the scoop. And I'm going to share with some of you that know these people that was associated with me in ministry, because I told you back in 1997, when the first coup d'etat took place with Olivet. And that coup d'etat took place in Olivet. If you want to know why that coup d'etat took place, they didn't like their pastor withstanding Fred Price and Jack Hayford the way that I was doing. They wanted me to be like the other pastors. Oh, we don't think God called you to do that. I would just ask them, what does he call you to do? You're imbeciles. People at the vet, some of them were some pretty straight shooters because they were young people. They were the ones that were not influenced by religion. The ones that I could truly mentor and try to disciple. Those are the ones that I was attempting to reach. But unfortunately, when the poisonous associate pastor, Greg, and the rest of these liars called him on the telephone and poisoned their minds about Pastor John, it was a done deal. There was nothing left for me to do but resign. Knew it was done. See, this is, now, why did I say that? I haven't told you what I told you yet. Keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening. Because some of you are attending fellowships like that. And you're going to be bent over the barrel and screwed. Yeah, I'm making it plain. Because that's what they'll do to you. And you're trying to figure out why you should still go to church. I know succinctly why God called me in this ministry. I know purely and intentionally why he called me to be the kind of a man that I am. Number one, I know that I will never stop doing and saying what I'm doing because some of you, just a small amount of you, are listening to me. Your minds and your hearts are opening up. When I speak alone like this, it appears that I'm rambling, but I'm not rambling. I will tell you how easy became the pastor of the Living by the Word Bible Church. You will not believe me. And then you will say, how could the people allow this to happen? There's an adage in the Bible that says, if the blind is leading the blind, they both fall in a ditch. You can cry, holler, scream, beg, and pray. That does not make you called of God. When that man was with me in ministry, not once did I ever see the call of God in his life. The only thing that I saw is that an in-law of him sent a phony degree to him with his name on it, speaking about a doctrine in ministry of some sort. And he asked me, so what makes your degree at Talbot Biola any better than the one that this person sent me? Now, this man is a pastor of a church. I think that just, in other words, you can print up a degree on your computer and put it on the wall, and that degree makes you a pastor. Now, the other question that you got to ask is, who ordained him? Craig Hawkins. Who is Craig Hawkins? Oh, my gosh. Guess who thought he was a Bible answer man, but Walter Martin didn't choose him. See, I mean, greed and all of these kinds of things perpetrate the kind of devilish behavior that takes place behind our pulpits today. And what it takes is it takes someone that is able to, coordinate his life in a way that is sensible without going crazy and falling completely apart. Now, hear me out. Charlton Davis was a pastor of the church, right? And if I get my story right, well, if I don't get it right, Reamer will call me and correct me. Charlton Davis is a pastor of the church. He's getting ready to go there and preach. And before he gets up to preach one Sunday morning, Easy D, Daryl Fulton, comes up to him and says, I have to make an announcement to the church. Davis says, go ahead and make the announcement. He made the announcement and told the people there's no more money in the church ministry and we won't be able to meet here next Sunday, possibly. From what I understand it, there was a few words exchanged. And as Charlton was walking away from Easy, he brushed up against him. And Easy told his brother, Ralph Fulton, I got from Zarek Streamer. I'm giving names, giving it to you. Because I ain't got nothing to hide. I ain't like these hypocrite Christians talking trash. And it was told to me that because of that brush up against him, Easy accused Charlton Davis of being a brawler, which disqualified him from being a pastor. And Craig Hawkins agreed and removed him from being the pastor of the church as a brawler, and with their attorneys, told him to cease and desist. In other words, he couldn't say anything because Eric's asked Charlton, well, where are you pastoring? And Charlton said, I can't pastor anymore from what these guys done to me. And I, you know, kind of laughed when I heard it because ain't that, oh, and they had a dossier all written up against Charlton Davis, the same kind of dossier they had written up against me. Sinners are vile creatures of Satan. That's why when people ask me, have you read the 40-page dossier they have on you? I said, to this date, I haven't read it. To this date, I haven't seen it. The heck I want to look at that mess for? Bunch of lying heathens playing like they're Christians, trying to get the church because it's all about money. That's like one brother wrote me and said that his pastor said that his wife stood up and said, man, I couldn't believe this. His wife stood up and said, we need more male ushers in this church here. And so that when the offering is taken, that they can stop the people from leaving so we can get our money. Can you believe that? I wish somebody would try to stop me from leaving the church when they pass the basket. I wish they would. You wouldn't be looking towards the baskets in the pulpit. You'd be looking at that ruckus at the back door when that deacon got his behind flopped down on the carpet. Don't let nobody kidnap you and keep you in there to pimp you for your money. All of you people with some sense ought to get up and walk out of that hellhole thing called a church. Talking about this is the Lord's holy house. I ask you again, my friends, and I ask you with great determination, who owns the church building that you worship in? Don't tell me like some of my college students did. Well, we do the people. And I just looked at the young lady and I laughed and I said, Lord, have mercy. That's why the pastor's wife wanted to get some male ushers to guard the door when the offering takes place, because she know who owns that church. It's her and her husband and her son. That's why Fred Price gave that hellhole of a church over to that clown-speaking son of his. And we just so happy to go there because it's paid for. And look at where we go. We go to the faith dome. No, you go to a fake dome. Go to my website. Go to the video page. You will see the faker backing down. I know you don't like me. I think, oh, you mean you ain't. No, shut up. You can use that talk on me. I'm trying to protect the real Christians out there that are just don't know, unaware, taken back. And that's the way it is, my friends. That is the way it is. Now, Easy's the pastor of the church, because from what I understand from my sources, and I hope that they didn't lie to me, that Craig Hawkins told him that since Easy has the money, that he is in control of the organization itself, and that since the pastor brushed up against you like that, that you can rightly become the pastor of the church to protect the flock. See, that comes from that evangelical bullcrap. None of those people did anything, absolutely anything, to spawn that ministry in any way. I did. My goodness, that is the second ministry that I started that ended in, oh, wait a minute. And they brought in, wait a minute, are you ready for this? They brought in a mediator to mediate between Easy and Charlton Davis. And I asked Eric, well, who was the mediator that they brought in? And I knew what he was going to say before he said it. Carl Hargrove, a Fairview Baptist Church in Englewood. Graduate of the Master's Seminary. I figured they would. They would go to Carl Hargrove. Mediate it? That man doesn't have enough spiritual insight to know that Easy D is a criminal. And he mediated. See, my friends, when you look at the institutionalized organized church, and I must tell you that I repent before God, because when I was a pastor in a church, I was a real one. If you want to know another brother that had a similar kind of situation that I went to, is Pastor Redmond, that was pastoring a church in Maryland. They did the same thing to him in that Baptist church. It's terrible what they did to him. He wrote this fine treatise called Why Black Men Don't Go to Church. And it was a fine treatise. I met him when I was there doing a conference, and I told him, I said, son, you're not going to be long here. I said, these are Baptist folk. These folk think that they have ownership of the building. And if they can control you, which they can't because you're a Bible man, but they handling the money, they're going to get rid of you. While he preached, I was amening out there. Melvin Jones was there. You can ask him. I was amening. The boy preached. Melvin at that time was going to the church because I told him, this is a good pastor, man. This dude is telling the truth. But I told him, I told Pastor Redmond, I said, you know what? You are not going to be here long. Now, how did I know that? A real pastor knows that. Now, Pimp, I know he's going to be in there until he didn't milk the cow's teat for all the juice it can give. So I asked, I said, well, who is Pastor Fulton's associate minister? I don't know why I asked that question. I knew the answer of that already. And he told me it was Darrell Hackett. And when I said, what? See, now I know the background of all these people, all of them. I just said, what? And we just both laughed. I said, man, this thing has come full circle. I never saw pastoral qualities in Darrell Hackett. I got to admit, when I ordained my associate minister, Greg Owens, I saw some pastoral qualities, which I told him and his grandfather, that must be guided by my leadership because the church is growing so fast and my appointments and things like that dictated the fact that I needed an associate that was smart and articulate and that I loved. That was Greg Owens. I was cautioned before I put him in that office, and I should have taken a caution because he had something about him that I did not see. And I want to talk with you people about these people because they're in every group, every group. Every group, jealousy abounds in pastoral ministries, white ones and black ones. Jealousy abounds. When God gives you a particular gift, when God gives you a particular thing, a calling that you exercise in, you're going to find yourself growing disciples, especially male disciples, because young men are going to want to be around people that have a charisma about them. The charisma, especially to attract and to retain and keep and to reform young black men in the inner city, is a powerful gift. I have that gift. I have one young, powerful, dreadlocked black man on his way to my house right now seeking spiritual counsel and wants me to be his pastor. Why? Because I'm still putting out the same thing that I put out when I was at the vet back in the early 90s and late 80s. Never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. That gift never changes. I got an email from one of my students, Daniel Miranda. Dan Miranda. I know a lot about Dan Miranda. I'm not going to share that with you because that's none of your business. But Dan Miranda is in a pretty good ministry in the southern part of the country now. Those of you that attended my Bible studies out at the Inglewood Church, you know Dan. And Dan is in a ministry. He sent me some pictures. Dan has remarried. I don't know too much about the divorce of his first wife. See, I almost said I can only imagine, but I don't want to go there because I didn't marry a black woman. I married a woman of Asian extraction. So see, I'm kind of lockjawed now, right? Because I won't put myself through that. All right. I've never addressed this on a webcast, and I think it's about the time to address it. It's no better time than this. The reason that I know that God did the right thing by giving me Lucy, because if I had married a black woman that would try to withstand me in ministry, I would have been divorced in 3 weeks. Just like that. I wouldn't have put up with that mess in a minute. I would just ask, are you going to listen to this word of God and me? And when she said no, I said, oh, we out of here. You liar. I don't even know why you embarrass me to make me marry you. And don't be telling people that we had sex before.